We didn't do a sound check, though. That's your fault.
Sure. Yep. I'll own that one. Christ. So how's your volume?
Hello and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode 144 for Thursday, the 5th of October, 2017. This is a show where two lifelong friends celebrate geek. Hey, and by the way, just so you know, I nailed the intro last week. Totally nailed it. Nailed it up one side and down the other.
Not this week, though.
No,
yeah,
not
there
this
was
week.
Like 7 false starts and that and stuff.
Yeah,
and
that and
it
stuff.
It just sounded like as good as that. How you doing, man?
Dude, it has been a week. It's been awesome, and I. It's just, it's been, dude. It's really been.
Yes.
I know that's high praise for the week. Well, it exists. It existed.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, dude. I don't want to get into this week. This week's. Yeah, this week has been a weird week.
Okay, so I'm just going to cover it real quick. There's plenty of other places to go to hear about all the rotten bullshit that's going on in the world right now. This is not one of them. So
exactly. And that's what I was going to say. That's why I'm skipping my weekly recap, because it dealt with some of those things. So, yeah, but it is Thursday now. And Thursdays are amazing because it's Ritual Misery Night. And I'm glad to be here, dude.
Yeah. I wouldn't say I'm surprised to be glad to be here, but I'm definitely glad to be here.
Well, good. Hey, I'm glad that you can count on Thursdays.
I mentioned it in the intro, but it is October, and that does mean one thing. That means, and I'm going to tell you what that means. I'm going to give you a little hint.
Wait, does it mean that that you're not going to see the sun again for 6 months?
No. That didn't happen for a while. Although the snow is probably going to be falling within a week.
Oh, man. So I see a bottle opener.
You see a bottle opener.
Yep. And you mentioned that it's October. Ooh, and you have a Moss, the giant German-style mug.
And I have?
And it looks like you have a beer of some sort, which I can only imagine is an Oktoberfest style, or at least a fall seasonal.
It's actually not. This is Alaskan Brewery's Pilot Series, which is their limited series. It's not limited, like they're only going to make it for 15 years. Like they make these for like 6 months, put it out there, and then they never make it again.
Okay, so it's kind of like a seasonal, but not exactly. It's like a... Yeah, it's a limited edition. I got you.
Yeah. This is their raspberry wheat ale brewed with raspberries.
Okay. Have you tried it yet?
I have not. Well, I've tasted it a while ago, but I was eating like really spicy food. So, I've never tried it with a clean palate.
Okay. I'm interested to see what you think of this.
And my challenge to you is that I should have done this last week, but my challenge to you is each episode this month and next week, you have to do two to make up for this week. Each episode this month, we are going to try a new beer.
Okay, I'm down.
So you have to find a new beer in celebration of Oktoberfest, because I know your limited beer supply is not going to hold out for too long. But each week, let's try a new beer.
Okay, yeah, man, I'm down.
So I'm going to go ahead and pour this out. We'll pour it in.
Hey, yeah, whoa. That's some beer sitting right there. Don't pour it out. So how's the... How's the head?
It's good.
You enjoying your head?
It's a pretty good pour. I might have given a little extra head there. I might have overdone the head.
I don't know if you can overdo the head.
I mean,
and having a full size liter Moss like you do, it's very difficult to overdo the head.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it didn't pour out, but I do have some very deep head.
Yeah.
So. It actually smells like raspberries, which I mean, I guess that's good. It's better than smelling like grape.
Yeah. And a lot of head actually helps with the aroma. It helps you get a lot of the profile. How's the taste?
It's got a I can definitely taste the berry.
Okay.
Honestly, I don't like the aroma.
Too fruity? Like too sweet?
No, it's
for
too,
you.
It's too bitter. It almost smells like the after effect of beer.
Okay. It smells like the bottom of the keg.
Yeah. The beer itself, I mean, it's an ale. I'm glad we're doing it for this because I probably wouldn't drink it otherwise. It's a little bitter.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, you got to have a little bit of bitterness to balance out all that fruity sweetness, I imagine.
Sure.
So I got to ask you, man, how is my audio compared to last week?
Well, I can hear you.
Has improved at all?
I can hear you while I'm talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is an improvement, right?
Ask anyone who's listened to the last several episodes where the music would keep going and you try to talk and nobody could hear you. It's probably an improvement, but I'm not going to speak for everybody.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that I have taken just a few tiny dollars and fixed the huge audio issue that I've been having.
I know I've got cleaner audio from you and it's a lot louder because we had messed with some of your gain earlier and some of my gain because it's definitely coming through.
Yeah. Well, great. Yeah, man. So this is a problem with Skype in general and mm-hmm. definitely a problem with podcasts that use Skype. Yeah, man. Mix minus is a thing. And if you're a podcaster and you don't know what mix minus is, you need to look it up or you need to email.
I've been trying to get you to do mix minus for months now. 4 days after getting it set up, you're like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no shit. Like, look it up or email podcast@ritualmisery.com and we will help you.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, if you're listening to this in your podcatcher, there is a link in your show notes for the things that I bought. I spent less than $15 for like complete fixage of Skype audio shit.
Yeah, so. And part of the problem is that you're on an iMac that doesn't have a microphone port.
Correct.
Yeah, that was one of the big hurdles. I was like, oh, shit. So yeah, that's one of the things.
Yeah, very simple solution. It took very little time to fix, and like I said, it was pretty cheap. So it's probably my geekiest thing this week.
Chat room was saying that the only time they hear anything annoying on this show is when you talk. So
well, that happens.
welcome to my life.
Damn it, Mike. Yeah. So I don't know. I heard that you got into something much geekier though.
Or
much more fun.
Like all the things that I did this week. When the Super NES Classic went on presale, I was pissed because I didn't even get an email. I still haven't gotten an email from Amazon saying that it's available for order. So I designed, you know what, I'm not going to worry about it. And cause this is the system that I actually want, this and the N64 Classic, if they ever do that one, are the systems that I want. Right. Yeah. And I was like, you know what, if I happen to come across one, I do, but whatever. Well, we all went out as an office to breakfast last Friday. And at the end of breakfast, I figured, you know what, I'll stop by Best Buy real quick. It's actually on my way to work. Mm. At least that parking lot is, you know. So
it'd be nice to have a Best Buy in your town.
I mean, we got two. So,
not to rub it in.
Right. We also have like three pancake houses right off base. But anyway, so I stop by, I drive by Best Buy, and there's a little line. It's like five people long. Fuck it, I'll go ahead and get in line. They should be opening soon. Yeah, they open in like half an hour. I'll stop by there. So I get in line, and I'm talking to people, and they've all got these tickets. I'm like, oh shit, man, everybody already got their tickets, and blah 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 blah. He comes out, the manager comes out right before 10 o'clock when they opened with a stack of tickets. Apparently, they had gotten several hundred SNES classics.
Oh, my God. And I thought these things were going to be limited in supply.
Yeah. All the, all of the GameStops in the area got like 10. But Best Buy got like 200. So I definitely picked one up. Mm-hmm. I definitely taught my daughter how to play Super Mario World, my 4-year-old. How to play Super Mario World.
That is a win right there. That's it. It's a win.
So as I'm playing, okay, so I remember a lot of the stages and stuff like that, and it's really fun to play, and oh my gosh, it is like a lot of fun to play. I don't remember how to get to any of the secret places in Super Mario World. You know, the little red dot where you can go two branches? I don't remember any of the branches. I don't remember any of the codes.
Let me come over. I can help you.
I have it. It's been so long since I played it. And of course, I just recently played through Link to the Past with my emulator. And holy shit, that was amazing. That was a blast. I'm glad I did that because that I started playing other games. Because if I'd got the SNES Classic and I hadn't played A Link to the Past in a while, that's all that I would play on that thing, you know? It's super fun. I think the controllers are not quite as responsive as I would like, but I don't know how true to the original that is or if that's... I don't know if my usage of my Xbox 360 controller plugged into my computer on my emulator has skewed my feeling of how the controller for the SNES class or SNES felt.
Yeah.
And therefore skewed my opinion of it on the Classic. But it does feel like there's a little bit of a controller delay in there. But they are full-size controllers, which is way better than the NES Classic that came out.
Yeah. I'm just a little bit jealous because I kind of had the same mindset as you. If I come across one in the store, I'm probably going to snag one. But I'm not going to go out of my way. I have yet to see one in the wild.
I almost got you one just for your, like, Christmas or whatever. And I was like, I don't want to come back. I'm not going back there.
Right. So, I don't blame you.
So yeah,
though that would have been awesome.
Here's the controller, and I've got full size man hands, right? So when I'm holding it's actually like the original size. It's really comfortable.
It looks exactly like the original controller.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's holy cow, man.
Yeah,
it's pretty great.
It took me a while though because I kept putting my thumb in the middle of the controller right there, you know, like, and then going to the side doing the little button. It's like how did I use this fucking?
Right, yeah, because you're used to the Xbox controller.
Well, not just that, but like, there's a special placement on this controller. If you put your thumb on the Y button is the key. The Y button is your anchor on this controller.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
The Y,
yeah.
You put your thumb right there, right. Oh shit, right there. And then that allows you to get to all the other buttons as you need. Yeah,
it's indented. It's like the home key.
So is the X button though. Like they're both indented.
Yeah, well.
But the Y button that's the key. Like the Y button is the key button. You have one of those little blind people buttons on there.
So do you remember how our friend Patrick used to hold the NES and SNES controller?
and thus why he stopped playing video games when the 64 came out?
Right. Yes. So he would. Yes. So Amos is demonstrating right now holding the controller like basically upside down and using your fingertips instead of your thumbs.
Right.
To manipulate the controls.
Yeah.
It was the most bizarre shit to watch.
This is what kills me, though. This right here. What the fuck is this? Why? Why, Nintendo? This is not your standard controller port. This is like some hoogie boogie shit that they just randomly came up with because they ran out of Legos one day and they wanted to fucking like this is stupid. Just make it USB. Everybody's gonna hack it for USB anyway. Just make it USB to begin with. Save everybody the trouble and save yourself the money of this proprietary shit.
Right. Yeah. And see, I thought it was USB because I'd only seen it in photos and it looked USB enough to be USB. It was apparently it's not USB. Oh man. Well,
BioCal's running through all the commands in Nightbot.
Nice. So if you guys are listening to this in your podcatcher, I want you guys to do us a favor and go over to twitch.tv/ritualmiserypodcast.
Ritual Misery Podcast.
Is that the URL?
Yep.
And please subscribe not subscribe.
Follow.
What is it? Follow?
Follow. You can't subscribe yet until we get enough followers and we become affiliated.
Yeah, exactly. So I want you guys to go over there and follow us. Mm-hmm. If you have to create a Twitch account just to do that, we need you to do that. Like, you got to go ahead and do that. no, but that would be awesome because there's this other show called The VOD Squad.
The what?
The VOD Squad.
The
like,
what?
They think they're so cool.
The VOD Squad? Like, tell me that's like... Some Czech name, right? Where it's actually like KR makes the V sound, right?
I can't attest to that.
No, I'm pretty sure it's like KRUL, and then there's like a one in there followed by a square and a backwards heart.
I think what's
right?
happening actually is that I'm mispronouncing it because it's actually spelled like VOD Squad, like VOD
Squad. Oh,
and, but it's probably, you're probably right. It's probably like, you know, the crap squad or something.
The squad.
Because they think they're all cool, man. I mean, okay, so their show is actually, it's actually, hey, don't tell our audience, but the show is actually like pretty cool. But
you're not,
anyway,
you're not supposed to say that in the mic, dude. You're not supposed to.
Okay, well, anyway, so those guys suck, and they want to have more followers than Ritual Misery does.
Right.
And
yeah, no.
Can't let that happen. So
no.
What we need you guys to do is follow us on Twitch tell all your friends to go follow us on Twitch. It doesn't matter if they ever watch us.
Yeah, and it doesn't cost you anything. It costs you literally like 30 seconds of your time. And well, if we're not worth that, then why the fuck are we on the internet?
Right. Yeah, but no, that would be awesome. We are in a little bit of a feud with the VOD squad. Poodle Puncher threw down the gauntlet a few weeks ago, and we need to show him up because Ritual Misery is definitely cooler than the VOD squad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's so much more going on this week, though. Wait, the VOD squad? There's so many better names they could have. The Vampire Podcast, the VOD squad.
Right, just the odd squad.
The odd squad. There you go. They screwed up, man.
They need to get a guy named Todd on the show so they can be the Todd.
The
squad.
Todd squad. They could all be Todds. Yeah, yeah. Just like Hello Internet fans are all Tims. They could all their fans could be Todds.
There you go. Oh my gosh.
Hey, you were talking about audio stuff earlier, and I had my own audio problems this week.
Yeah,
I had this. Feeding into my, anytime I played system sounds on my computer, if I played them too loud, I had this just amazing squeal crap shit sound.
Yeah.
So I isolated it down. I in fact got a USB audio adapter similar to yours, but not the same one, obviously, because I had to stop by the local Best Buy and pick mine up for a
what,
little.
Not Radio Shack?
No. I can't even find Radio Shack up here. yeah, you can follow the VOD squad. Make sure you know just how bad that show is, then come over and see how it's done on the Ritual Misery podcast.
Yeah, just be sure you follow them though, so that you can easily find them and harass them.
Yeah, exactly. Just for that purpose only. That's fine. I went and got it. I wrapped up all my audio cables, like wrapped them up real nice and pretty. I got everything, you know, all the power lines and the data lines and the audio lines all separated. Nothing fancy, just a bunch of zip ties and some creative placement. That sound is gone.
Oh.
Gone.
Nice.
But now, whenever I do my mix minus from here, the not you guest, the other person that's usually in the other Skype instance, all they hear is crap. So I got rid of my minor annoyance and now have a major annoyance.
Oh, what the hell, man?
Yeah, I think
the Gremlins strike again.
Yeah, well, it's maybe it's a good thing we didn't have a guest this week, so
we'd still be in pre-show.
Yeah.
Man. Oh, I did something actually pretty cool this week. It was super simple in my face. I should have known the entire time, but I figured something out, and it saved me a shitload of future time and effort. So you know how Sassian and I are doing a Doctor Who podcast.
Right, called the Doc Squad.
Say that again?
It's called the Doc Squad.
The Doc Squad, yeah.
The Box Squad.
Yeah, well, its real name is going to be Blue Box Travelers. You can go ahead and follow that if you want on Twitter. BB Travelers is the Twitter handle. It is not published yet, but it is coming very soon. And what we've done so far, because when we started this, BritBox was not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
We are using DVDs and we've been purchasing them through Amazon. And one way that we can get them cheaper is if we buy the Region 2 DVDs from BBC. And we thought we were going to have to, you know how like on DVD players, you can change the region coding, but only like four times or some crap. Right. And then the DVD player is just a piece of shit after that.
It's just locked at whatever last porn you're watching.
Yeah. So I was like, man, I want to avoid doing that. Easiest fix on the planet. If you download VLC player and just open up VLC player and then tell it to open the DVD rather than going through like whatever your like default DVD player is, or you know, whatever software you use to watch a disc, just open VLC and have it open the disc. And VLC is like, fuck region coding. What is that even? It doesn't exist. So a cool region encoding hack for everybody. Everybody's probably like, of course.
I don't watch DVDs anymore. I just rip them to my Plex.
Yeah, Fitz actually said DVD players still exist. I mean, if you go to Radio Shack, you might be able to pick one up.
Drone enthusiast podcast, The Quad Squad. That's so amazing.
Awesome. Man, I'm going to have to look all these up.
Yeah.
They sound like great shows.
Poodle Punch is not going to get any follows, but all the other shows are all going to be affiliated.
I was going to say, it comes to find out, Poodle Puncher runs all of them.
It's like, no wonder he never has time to come on this show.
Right. Yeah, no doubt. They probably all auto-host the VOD Squad.
Yeah. So if you're watching the video podcast, you can see two big-ass boxes behind me from Amazon. The bottom one is a case for a computer, and the top one is where I had a bunch of parts for computers stuff come in. My son decides that he wants to build a computer, and he's got an $800 budget. So we're looking through. He wants to buy a gaming computer, can't afford a real gaming computer, but he can afford, you know, something he can upgrade or whatever.
Yeah, sounds like Christmas in my house last year.
Right. Well, I started looking, and for the $800 he was going to spend, plus a little bit more cash, I could rebuild the Beast, which is my computer, and we could I could take some of my stuff and buy some new stuff, and then he could take my old stuff and use some new stuff, and we can make two computers with the equipment we have, and both of us end up on top.
Okay.
Because there's certain things that we wouldn't have to buy again, you know?
Yeah.
Because I had a motherboard, but I didn't have a processor for it. Well, that's what that is. It's all the parts. So, you know what we're doing on this four-day weekend?
Sounds like you're building a couple computers.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like a great time.
So everything came in perfectly. Everything, all the stuff in the box, everything's great, right? Except for my processor.
Okay. They sent you a processor though, right?
They did.
Okay. Was it like a 386?
No, it's actually a Core i7 6800.
Okay.
So 6 core
That's a modern processor.
I mean, yeah, for the most part. I mean, it's not like new, right?
It's not like cutting edge, but it's modern.
Right. It's actually the same generation of processor that's in my computer now, which is a 6700. So it comes in the box.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, this box was on bottom of all the other boxes.
Oh, no. No. So
I haven't opened it yet.
Oh, my God.
But this
are we going to have a live unboxing on Ritual Misery?
This box got crushed. So, luckily...
Now, is this one of the boxes that you can see the processor? Is it behind plastic?
Yeah.
Or you have to actually
right,
open
it's
it
It's
right
to back
see
there.
It?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So can you see any damage through the plastic?
No, it looks okay. Although you can definitely tell the plastic has it's it's worse for wear. So that'll be interesting.
Probably crap now.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll find out. I don't know. I don't overclock, so I'm not really worried about the minor stuff. But sure, man, sure. Hopefully it's all in one piece because that shit was expensive.
Man.
So I'm trying to find a name for the new computer because this one's Beast. My old computer was Monster, and it's over there. I need to find a new name. I'm thinking Son of Beast, but I don't know if there's like some weirdly weird, comic book connotation for Son of Beast. You know, I didn't want to go Wolverine.
Son of Beach.
Son of Beach. Spelled with two I's. Oh, shit. And I got good news.
Oh, God. Better news than the fact that you're building a couple computers this weekend?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Travel with me to Twitter. I'm on Twitter. I'm scrolling through. And I see a post by Seth MacFarlane says, hey, my new album is now available on iTunes.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I like Seth.
He's a crooner.
He is. He is. And pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I click on it, and I follow it, and I start listening to it work. And I'm like, this is pretty good. And I go down to, you know, look at the more information, stuff like that, blah, 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 blah. See if he's got other albums. Because I know he has some, but I didn't know how many, right? You know, he's got like six albums out now. I find one by Rachel MacFarlane.
Oh.
He's got a younger sister that sings as well. So I click on that, and I listen to that for a little bit. Okay, cool. More artists like this. I'm like, holy shit, man. I might have just hit a gold mine for music to work, listen to at work, you know?
Yeah.
On that list is a band called Postmodern Jukebox.
Okay.
Have you heard of Postmodern Jukebox?
I believe I have.
BioCal wants to know if she's hot. I mean, for a 35-year-old lady, she's held up well.
Oh, Jesus. Like, that's old. That's not old. Well, what does that even mean?
Some 35-year-olds are like, oh, my God, she really enjoyed her 20s.
So does some 25-year-olds. Like, what does that even mean? Or you could be 95, Betty White, and still be hot.
Oh, my God. Somebody better protect that chick. We got too many stars dying. Tom Petty, rip. So Postmodern Jukebox basically plays new-ish, like current. Maybe not current, but I mean, sometimes they're current. They play new music in 20s to 50s styles. So they'll take a hip hop album or a rap album, you know, they'll take Gangster's Paradise and put it to a 20s swing tune. And it's amazing. It's completely amazing. So I go to follow them on Twitter. Why? Because that's where I originally started this whole journey. I wanted to go back. And the Twitter post shows that they're on tour. Well, let's find out about this.
Oh, my God.
To find out, the tickets just went on sale earlier this week. And one of the first places they're hitting is Anchorage, Alaska.
What the fuck, dude?
So October 20th, me, my wife, and the twins are going to Postmodern Jukebox on a full-scale 1920s date.
What? That sounds like fate. That's amazing, dude. I'm a little bit jealous of what you got.
They've
going
only
on
been on sale for a couple. Well, they had only been on sale for a couple days, and they were almost sold out. Like, we got in the balcony because we got four seats together. The closest we could have gotten for two seats together was halfway off the floor, like halfway back from the stage.
Yeah.
So
that's, well, you know.
I'm not complaining. I mean, it's going to be awesome. So, yeah, like I said, man, anytime I can take the wife and ladies out, that's a good day. So that rounds up my weekly rundown.
Yeah. if somebody would want to help you pay for those tickets, is there a way that they might be able to do that?
I mean, they can mail me cash.
Yeah. What if somebody wanted to help Ritual Misery have a better show by maybe helping us upgrade our equipment, like rebuild the beast?
Oh, I mean, they could go to Amazon, buy some shit from our website.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a link on ritualmisery.com to a wish list, I think, right? Hey, have we updated that?
What is this in the chat room? Hold on. M Beam in the chat room. No. The BioCal in the chat room just typed in some Patreon thing, and it comes up with the link says www.patreon.com/ritualmisery. What is that?
Yeah. So if you click on the link, patreon.com/ritualmisery, it goes to a page that's got our ugly mugs on it.
And a really old video.
Yes, and a really awful, old, outdated video that everybody should definitely not go watch. And I tell you what, I'll make a deal with you. You guys can go over there and watch that as many times as you want if you click on the little button over there to become our patron and give us a buck.
Hmm.
If you like our show and you give a fuck, go ahead and go to patreon.com/ritualmisery and give us a buck. That'd be great. What else is going on, dude? Like, you
beer.
Got, oh, I see you got some beer still. Is it getting better as it warms up a little bit, or is it getting worse? It's getting worse. Do not commit the ultimate beer sin and drain pour that thing. You got to finish it.
No, that's not happening.
Committed.
That's not happening.
What's going on with the flavor profile?
Well, the bitter is coming through more, but also more of the sweet is actually coming through now. And that could just be my palate desensitizing to the bitter, but I'm willing to take it. That's what she said.
So, dude, I got some bad news.
Other than Tom Petty? So let's get in this Tom Petty thing, okay?
Okay. Hopefully not too much.
I don't want to go over the news aspect. I don't want to go over like a big in memoriam of Tom Petty or anything.
Right.
What I want to do is express this weird feeling, this strange feeling. Like, I never saw Tom Petty in concert. I never intended to see Tom Petty in concert. I would have loved to have seen Tom Petty in concert, but it wasn't something I was going to go fly to a different state for. It
wasn't on
your
bucket list.
Right.
Yeah.
And now that he's passed away, with a great last joke on the media, by the way. It's this awkward, like, it saddens me that he's not going to make any more music, but that sadness comes with the realization that I actually haven't listened to any of his music in 20 years.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I call bullshit.
Well, I mean, I've listened to a song or two here or there. I mean, me and Maddie listened to A Girl Who Drinks Coffee, like, a couple months ago, but I haven't like gone out and searched out any of his new music since high school.
Ah, I fall. Okay. I'm with you now. Yeah.
Whereas like Metallica, their new album sucks, but I still went out and listened to it as soon as I could.
Sure.
So I don't know. Is that about how you felt too? I felt the same way with Prince actually. And David Bowie.
Prince, that's where I was with Prince. Petty, to a lesser extreme, I guess. I can't say that I didn't purposely seek him out in the last 20 years, because I have. But I'm not, I haven't rushed out to listen to his newest stuff. That's like, I'll catch what gets radio play.
Right.
I mean, same. Otherwise, if he came to my town, which no one is ever going to come to my town, but if he came to my town, you bet your ass I would have been at the show. But I wasn't going to, you know, I wouldn't travel to Albuquerque to see him, you know, which is like 3.5 hours away.
Yeah. It's kind of the litmus test, right? If you would drive like more than an hour to another city to see an artist, then
that's called fandom.
Right. It's just weird. But then are you not a fan? Cause you wouldn't drive an hour or so to see Tom Petty. Like, you're still a fan. You're just,
sure,
it's like an inactive fan, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's just like levels of dedication, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, there's people that would go to Twitch to watch our show, but not go to Patreon to, you know, give us a buck. So
it's levels of dedication.
And I don't hold anything against them. Some people can't. Some people have, and then they couldn't, so they didn't, and then they've come back. And, you know, it's all appreciated.
Yeah.
But it's like that. Like, we fly to Texas because we're a fan of the community, if not just the show Night Attack.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Accurate. But I don't see Night Attack flying here to watch me. Now that's when you know you made it.
When they're like, you know what? Fuck it. Diamond Con. It's in fucking Alamogordo this year.
It's a Kent's house. Yay. He said he's going to flip some burgers for it.
Get real drunk and pass out right before the show. It's going to be great.
Oh my God. Amazing. No, but dude, like I was saying, I got some bad news, man. It was bad to find out that Tom Petty had passed. He was 66 years old. But I found out that somebody that's much older, has been confirmed dead. It's somebody that I'm pretty sure that most, if not all, of our entire audience has, at least at some point in their life, would have said that they love this person. It's Santa Claus.
I thought he died a long time ago.
Well, they found his body. he's dead and he's in Turkey, buried in a tomb under a church, under a cathedral that,
oh, I did read about this. Yeah. Yeah. I read it. Oh my gosh. Yes. This is okay. First of all, what the hell are you doing digging under just random churches? Like, nobody else finds that weird.
Oh man. I just, what the fuck? Like, okay. So I have a problem with certain movies and certain like pop culture things that, all right. Let me back up a little bit. Parents can choose to propagate the Santa myth or not. But if it, to me, like in our American culture, it feels to me that at least like, you know, you're with young children, like I would say like 7 and under, it should be up to the parents if they propagate that myth or not, you know, because it's, for the most part, it's a harmless thing. It's just a fun little fantasy thing, right?
It's lying to your kids.
But it was, sure. But it's also, you know, the same with, you know, not describing sex in detail to your 4-year-old or 5-year-old. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, that's, leave that to the parents to decide how and when to explain certain things to their children.
Depending on what state you're in, it's illegal to describe sex to a 4-year-old that's not yours.
And it probably should be. And it should also be against the law to destroy the Santa myth for your 5-year-old.
For someone else's 5-year-old. You can destroy your own 5-year-old's Santa myth all you want.
So I have a problem with pop culture things that just throw it out there. Like the movie Gremlins. One of my favorite fucking movies. I love that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Except for that fucking scene in the bank when Kate has to tell Billy about how her father died, which it has no place in that movie anyway. That scene is just a downer for the sake of fucking up a movie. And then the moral of the story was, and that's how I found out that Santa Claus isn't real. What the fuck is that doing in this movie? That has no place. So that's actually what I thought of when I saw the headline to this article. It said, Santa is dead, according to archaeologists, I think was the headline.
Santa dead, archaeologists say?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that was the headline that I clicked on to find this article about, you know, finding the body of St. Nicholas, et cetera, et cetera. I was like, man, this is the shit that it's completely unnecessary. It was probably posted by a dickhead that doesn't have children. Interesting article, but come on, man. Like, why you gotta do that shit?
I've always had a love-hate relationship with Santa Claus. Like, even when I was young, I was always like, this is not a real thing. It didn't pass the logic. I never jived with Santa Claus, all right? I was never a dedicated believer.
Because you didn't get good presents.
I mean, that could be it, but
yeah, that's, well, actually that was my clue in when I was probably like 7 or something like that, because I was getting toys that weren't necessarily complete or like the best version or like the exact one that I wanted or something like that. I was like, okay, there's something's going on here. Someone is fallible here.
I don't remember when I put it together. By second grade, I knew where all the presents were hidden.
Yeah.
So
see, that's a, I think by second grade I was suspicious. By third or fourth grade, I was pretty sure, but I started, instead of looking for evidence against, I started looking for evidence for.
Confirmation bias.
Yeah. A little bit of cognitive dissonance was going on.
Yeah.
And I, yeah, that lasted about a year. And then finally I was like, okay, I hear mom and dad talking as they're putting the presents out. God damn it.
Because even they don't care at that point. They're like, fuck this kid.
The magic is gone. God damn it, it's not even midnight yet.
I remember Christmas of second grade. Well, Christmas of first grade is when I had the chicken pox. Well, no, Christmas of second grade is when I had chicken pox. The entire Christmas vacation. So I remember that year was the year that I was like, well, I'm going to prove it this year.
Oh shit!
So if I was thinking that, I know at least two Christmases before that I was suspicious. So we're going back to like 4 years old or whatever. Like some of my earliest memories are Santa Claus is a fucking joke.
Yeah,
like that's how pessimistic I am. I disproved Santa Claus at fucking 4 years old.
Oh, man.
Come at me, bro.
Happy Santa.
Come at me, Rudolph. Okay. So since we're talking about kids, I want to tell you a little story about Sterling.
Okay. That's one of the twins.
That's the younger of the twins. She's 15 years old.
Okay.
They are going to go get their flu shots tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good, right? I mean, no big deal, right? Sterling has anxiety about having her flu shot. So I'm cajoling her a little bit as fathers are wont to do. And I'm like, so what is it about it that you don't like? Like why are you bothered by this? You know, I pinch her on the arm. Like it's not going to even hurt that bad. And you just put up with that. She goes, it's not the pain. I don't like having little tiny things inside me that once they're all the way in, they squirt stuff inside me, then come out.
No! No!
I said, Sterling, you just described sex. Her face went bright red. She fell to the floor, laughing and crying at the same time. It was just one of those little fatherly moments that made me proud of myself.
Oh my God, man. I don't know how I would respond to that. Thank God I don't have daughters. Son of a bitch.
So I don't think Sterling's going to be getting laid anytime soon because.
Oh, no. That's. Oh, man.
That happened right before the show, and I actually wrote down a note just to remember exactly what she said. So. Yeah, that's as good as a quote that I can. It was amazing. I love my kids, man. They're fucking awesome.
That is, God, that's so perfect. That how could that be an accident? How could you not have planned that? That son of a bitch.
Needless to say, when they go to get shots tomorrow, I'm going to remind them that at least it's not as bad as sex.
Hey, does Madison know yet about the story?
No, she was down here hanging out with Autumn.
Okay. Well, unless Sterling has told her in the meantime.
Yeah, they did go to the gym while I'm sitting here drinking beer.
Yeah. Well, that might be part of your problem.
BioCow, she's 15. She knows all about the birds and the bees. They've known for years.
Yeah, not a 4 year old.
Keep in mind, I'm the father that throws period parties, so I don't go with that's his PP and that's her nay nay. No, that's penis. That's vagina. It's just call it what it is. Don't be ashamed of it. Move on with life.
Right. Yep. That's your padus.
that little thing that you hate right now because of that special time of month. That's the same thing that every boy is going to want to have from now until you're 80. Yeah, it's God. I having daughters is fucking rough, dude.
Yeah, fuck all that. Congratulations.
Yeah.
What is it, daughters for the both of us.
What is it? You have sons, so you just have to worry about two penises. I have daughters, I have to worry about every penis.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Better you than me. I got some good news though, man. So yeah, like Santa might be dead and Tom Petty might be dead, but we have confirmation that time travel is real.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So this happened in where was this? This was in Oklahoma, I think. No, Wyoming. This was in Wyoming. A man was arrested last week for intoxication, but he had a good reason. It turns out that he's a time traveler from the year 2048. And in order to time travel, what enabled him to time travel were these aliens had to inject him with a lot of alcohol. And that is the, like, that's like kind of like the secret ingredient. Like that is what enables time travel.
Alcohol.
It is. Yes. So an ABV, you've got to have like a 1% or a 0.1 something percent BAC in order to time travel. So that, which is also good news for me.
Well, I say we get started.
Yeah, right. So this guy, he comes back from 2048 to 2017 to warn us of an alien invasion that's coming.
Hmm.
And it actually turns out there was a slight miscalculation. He was supposed to only go back 30 years. So he was supposed to come out of the, you know, time vortex or whatever in 2018. Like right before the invasion, so we could like do something right before it happened, I guess. But yeah, he came all the way back to 2017. So instead of being able to warn the right people, he got arrested for public intoxication.
Well, you know the problem. The problem is he was too drunk. He came in at a 0.136 instead of a 0.1.
Right.
So there's your problem. We solved this mystery. It's right there. Wow. But here's the thing, though. Okay, first of all, if he is from 2048 and the invasion is supposed to happen in 2018, what the hell has he been doing for 30 years? Like, well,
he's been a captive, I think.
Yeah, did it take 30? Like, he's not even 30 years old, is he? But anyway, okay, whatever. Also, how fucked up is it if we actually have an alien invasion next year? And this guy's sitting in a jail cell.
Oh, dude, we need to bail him out. We need to get him on the show so we can ask him all these questions. His name is Bryant Johnson, and he's from Casper. What did I say? Casper, Wyoming. If anybody's in Wyoming or anywhere near there, like, please get us in contact with this guy. I want him on the show.
Yeah. Also, what kind of name is Casper, Wyoming?
It's I don't know. It's kind of a, it's sort of a scary name, but mostly cute.
I see. You think about things totally differently than I do. Like, we drove through Casper, Wyoming on our way up here from Texas, and the entire time, my wife ducked down. You're like, you know, she was like, I'm not trying to be seen in here. That's just
damn. It's because she's afraid of ghosts, right?
She totally is, and she's afraid of the dark.
Oh my God. The joke is that his wife is black. But
I wasn't gonna go there. Like, I didn't think that was something we needed to do, but you know something we do need to do. This is one I actually picked out. And I think we've already talked about it before, but if we have, then that's part of the trick. Apollo Robbins, The Art of Misdirection.
Yeah, I don't think we did cover this one before. I think I might have seen it before, but I'm pretty sure we haven't covered it.
Man, this is so good.
Yeah. This is an interesting one to come on the heels of last week's Brian Brushwood, Ted.
Mm-hmm.
Because this guy and Brian have a lot in common. They're both magicians. Well, this guy, I don't know if this guy would consider himself a magician, but he's very much in that same realm, sleight of hand, misdirection, psychology, you know, psychology of the mind, trickery kind mm-hmm. of stuff. I mean, that's a magician in my book. But anyway, this guy, he describes himself as a pickpocket. But he basically he puts on a 10-minute demonstration.
He's what, the world's most polite pickpocket or something like that.
Yeah, like, and he is like, he's incredibly engaging, which is actually part of his shtick. He distracts you not through like look over here. He distracts you by like completely other, like way more subliminal things. Like I'm talking about a thing while you should be thinking about a different thing. Mm-hmm. And then you thought about the wrong thing while he was talking about a different thing, you know? And it's like, holy fuck, complete mind fuck, which I thought I was following along for about 7 minutes. I really thought I was following along. And then he asks, do you remember at the beginning what I was wearing? Thank you very much. And like, he goes, because he mind-fucked us.
So how many times did you watch this?
I watched it twice.
Only twice?
Yes. Well, there was one part that I rewound it 30 seconds to watch part again. And then I rewound it another 30 seconds just to make sure I was catching the right thing.
Exactly. I think it's amazing that the first time you watch it, you don't see hardly any of this stuff. Like, maybe you catch one or two.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But the second time through, you think you catch it, and then finally, like, the third or fourth time I watched it, I was like, okay, nailed that one, got that one. This one you can't see because of the camera. But the little thing where he drops it off his head, like, I had to figure that out, like, because I barely see it. Yeah, it was great, man.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty great. I mean, guys, go check this one out. Apollo Robbins is his name. I'm sure he's got a bunch of YouTubes out there, too, if you don't want to go to TED. Yeah, the guy is, he's super cool to watch. He's fun, and he is really talented.
Mm-hmm. So he's got a lot of other stuff on the old internet as well. So if you like this, you can just do a search and find so much more. Hey man, there's a way for people to find new stuff, and we do it every year. Well, we've done it. We did it last year, and the year before that was just me. But
everything's got to start somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
But, that's how traditions begin.
We are heading for the third annual. I love being able to say the third annual, because the first annual is bullshit. The second annual is like, yeah, so fucking what? You just did it 2 years. We're heading to the third annual New Year's Eve Streamathon. And you are typing, so I'll carry it from here.
I'm like, oh, fuck. He's throwing to me. Yeah, dude. Like, no, last year's New Year's Eve Streamathon was incredible. Like, dude, we had probably a good like 45 day run up to it where you and I were super busy with getting everything organized, getting the guests gathered together, putting up a schedule, getting swag made up and all this kind of stuff. And oh my God, it was nonstop until finally on December 31st of 2016, we did one of the most fun, most well paid off efforts that I've ever been a part of. It was absolutely incredible. We streamed for 27 hours straight, not me and you for 27 straight hours. Oh, good God. But Diamond on diamondclub.tv in conjunction, I guess, with the DCTV Streamathon theme, we had a nonstop stream for 27 hours, and we had talent like Christy Cates.
We had
Bonnie Brushwood. Brian made an appearance at some point.
Brian Ibbett.
Brian Ibbett, Coverville.
Yeah. We had Fitz on for a little bit, even though that didn't work out as well as we'd hoped, but he was still on there, and it made it entertaining, if nothing else.
Right. he was having tech issues.
Yep, we had that was the premiere of the Diamond Club movie party, I believe. Was it not?
Yeah.
I think it was.
I think it was. And also it was the live video streaming premiere of Have a Drink Show.
It was. As well as the premiere of Christy Cates performing music, not just reporting on it.
Yep.
Like, there's so many great things happened. Like, I think that was the first time we ever had a workout video on, like, a morning workout on DiamondClub.tv.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Oh, yeah. And I was elected the first unsanctioned official Diamond Club president, which a title I still hold to this day because nobody's challenged me.
So good, man. The DC TV Streamathon is so much fun. And of course, we're doing it again this year.
Mm-hmm.
We are starting a little bit early this year so that we don't have quite the holy shit, oh my God, rush.
Which actually, we started early, but we are currently right now at the same point where we were last year when we initially kicked it off.
Are we really?
Yes.
Because it seems like it was, well, okay. So one thing that we're doing different this year that's going to hopefully alleviate some of that, we are asking for volunteers to put on a stream. Mm-hmm. We're offering 1 hour blocks. You're not limited to 1 hour. You can ask for 2 or 3 hours.
You can do either a half hour if that's all you got.
Sure. Yeah. If half hour is all you got, we can work something out. We can find another half hour streamer, or maybe me or Amos and or Amos will jump on for that, fill that half hour gap. Whatever you can do. So we are asking for streamers, of course, but we're also asking for people to help out in the behind the scenes capacities.
Mm-hmm.
So we were looking for tech people, just general tech support stuff that can help with the streamers, Twitch, because we're going to do this over Twitch, I believe. I'm like 90% sure that this is going to be a Twitch effort. But we'll see. Yep. We might incorporate YouTube as well. We'll see how this plays. But people that are knowledgeable of those platforms, knowledgeable of stream keys and, you know, things like that, things that can, you know, for ways to help inexperienced streamers. Also, we're looking for people that might want to make some graphics for this, possibly some video bumpers, do promotion. So like I did a Diamond Time submission this week. People that can help with those sorts of things.
And one other big thing we're looking for.
And what would that be?
Last year, we raised $2,073 for various children's hospitals around the country through Extra Life.
Yep. This year, we're not going to use Extra Life.
We would prefer not to because they cut us off at midnight Pacific time, and we still had several hours left to go. We want to find something that's charitable, something that people can get behind and that's easy to advertise and get out there and is genuinely helpful. So. Yes. And last year we kind of branched off and had a bunch of people do their own little hospitals and things like that. This year we want to do a single point, so we just have one place that's getting the money. If you have a charity in mind or a nonprofit in mind that has a good turnaround rate and is actually beneficial, especially if it involves kids, families, or veterans, let us know. We really want to tackle that down pretty quick because I want to get in contact with them and make things happen. But I don't want to limit it to myself. I want everybody to be able to put in ideas. So we're looking for a beneficiary to our charity stream for this year.
Yeah. So I've got two different links that people can follow. There's yellow420.com/streamathon leads you right to the sign up page. Also, you can go to ritualmisery.com/2017streamathon, all one word. 2017 streamathon. ritualmisery.com/2017streamathon will lead you to a page on our site that's got a little bit more information. Definitely has a link to the sign up on there. We need as many people to sign up as possible. Even if you're not sure, but you want to be involved, you want to get in on the Slack, the email traffic that gets sent out, you want to, you know, find where you might be able to help. Go ahead and sign in. There is a place in the form where you can add comments.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and just state that in there. Please do that for us. And as great as last year's Streamathon was, I know we can make this even better, like by far. And Amos and I can't do it by ourselves. We need you guys. You guys are the ones that are going to make this thing awesome.
Honestly, we don't want to do it by ourselves. I did this We want to make sure no one has to spend New Year's Eve alone. That's the big key. We want to raise some money for a really good cause while we're at it. We started out raising a couple $100 for
Tez and Ev.
God, see, I always forget that shit. down in Australia. We raised a couple $100 to help them out with their GoFundMe.
With Blurch and all that.
Last year we raised a couple $1,000. This year we're hoping let's hit five. Let's hit $5,000 just of the Diamond Club community. How amazing would that be?
Yep. Yeah, yeah. But we definitely need that volunteer to help with the charity. Not just for we definitely want suggestions, but we also want somebody to kind of be the like coordinator for that too.
Right.
Maybe be the liaison, or maybe just be the the person that explains to people how to funnel the donations to the charity, things like that.
Yep.
So whatever you guys can do would be freaking awesome.
And we want to make sure that this is something that outlasts us. We don't want this to be the Ritual Misery annual thing. We want this to be the Diamond Club thing, that if me and Kent can't do it one year, that someone else would take the torch and make sure this happens every year.
Definitely. Looking so forward to that. You know what else I'm looking forward to?
The end of the show?
Well, I do have to pee, so there is that. But something that actually I'm looking forward to even more than my post-show pee, I'm looking forward to next week, man. This episode is not even over yet, and I'm looking forward to next week's episode.
You're saying snubs is better than a pee. I mean, well, I have to agree with you. That's clearly the case.
So are you guys familiar with Hack 5? I bet most, if not all, of our audience is familiar with Hack 5.
Yeah, they should be.
Shannon Morse is going to be on our show next week.
Yeah. So I have this awkward... it's an admiration. It's an awkward admiration for women in tech. And it's not like, oh my God, she's so hot. Even though Shannon Morse is very beautiful. It's just women in tech that are taking prominent positions and trying to share tech and owning their position in tech. Veronica Belmont, Shannon Morse, Jen Cutter. And these are just Diamond Club people. I'm amazed that in, because they're all, I think all of them, Molly Wood, I think all of them are a little bit younger than us.
Sarah Lane.
Yeah.
List goes on.
Yeah. But it's in a time when everybody's saying women aren't into tech and girls aren't doing math and we're finally getting girls into science. These women said, screw you. I like the tech stuff. I like reporting on it, playing with it, hacking it, doing whatever I'm going to do with it. And I'm not going to be shy about it.
Yeah.
And there's something
and that's the key, because it took women to get us on the freaking moon.
Right.
This is nothing new. Like they're not pioneering the involvement with tech. They're pioneering the hey, look at me. I'm into tech and right. I'm a chick.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing. They're bringing attention to it, and I totally with you with my admiration for what they're doing. Like it's so cool.
And to have Shannon Morse come on the show next week is just gonna be amazing. It's gonna be one of the times when I'm genuinely nervous on the show. That's how that's gonna work.
It's kind of like episode 100 when we had Scott Johnson and Tom Merritt both on our show.
No pressure.
No pressure whatsoever. And also, let's prolong this pressure that you may or may not have by the Cubs game.
Oh, my God.
The Cubs World Series win happening that night.
Game seven at
delay,
that.
Oh, my God. That was the most drawn out. I think I smoked half a pack of cigarettes waiting on that show to go live.
I think I smoked the other half a pack of your cigarettes because I wasn't even there, but I'm pretty sure that that's what happened.
Oh, my God. That was crazy. Anyway, we're getting off track.
Yeah.
Shannon Morse is our guest next week, and I can't wait.
Holy shit. Yep, and you can... this is my new audio crutch. Or vocal crutch.
Mine is just laughing nervously.
Right, looking at me and laughing nervously.
Oh my God. All right, so here we go.
We do a video. We can be found at twitch.tv/ritualmiserypodcast. You can find us on the interwebs, ritualmisery.com. It'd be really cool if we had a link on our ritualmisery.com that led over to twitch.tv/ritualmiserypodcast. That would be fantastic. We should probably make that happen one day.
I might do that during the post show, actually.
BioCal says it's Sling Blade.
I like them French fried potatoes. Mm-hmm. I like them vocal
potatoes.
I like them vocal potatoes.
Oh, yeah. Man. How awesome would it be if you get to get Billy Bob Thornton on the podcast just to do that voice? Just
oh my God.
I like the Rich and Misery podcast. Mm-hmm. Them idiots make me laugh. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that would be a dream come true. Oh, man. Oh, my God.
That would be amazing.
Anybody knows Billy Bob?
Oh, shit. Hey, man, where can people find you?
Oh, geez. Check me out on Twitter, @RM_DelNoche. I'm Del Noche pretty much everywhere else on the web, to include Untappd. So if you're a beer person, hit me up on there. I would love to read your reviews. What about you, man?
You can find me on Twitter @EthanKane. You can also follow the show on Twitter @RitualMisery. You can cruise on by our website, ritualmisery.com, to find out all the glorious things we're doing when they go public. And you can support.
We put links up there anyway.
You can support the
I'm
show.
I'm going to make that happen. That's going to happen tonight.
You can support the show, patreon.com/ritualmisery. You can comment on any episodes we have, ritualmisery.reddit.com. And we want to give a special thanks to, let me hit the little button here. We want to give a special. So Kevin MacLeod makes our music. Thank you, Kevin MacLeod.
We love you, Kevin.
For me, for Kent, and for all those in the chat room right now that have suffered through this, thank you. This has been your Virtual Misery Podcast.
Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
I'm not sure we've ever had a collapse of a show quite as glorious as that.
That's some of the most genuine belly laughter that I've ever had on this show, man. God damn, what the hell happened?